Get that line for
on the right, baby.
Not that Mackey's
back in town.
Look out, old Mackey is back.
Oh yeah.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 202, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. You know how it works. I got you for 3 hours till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We got Manny on the other side on a baseball morning. That's right, on this Wednesday morning. A couple of good games and crisis averted. As the big story coming out of the Yankee game, we'll get to the Mets in just a second. But as the Yankees take on the Baltimore Orioles, the biggest series of the year, I thought they couldn't beat good teams. We'll get to that in a second as well. But as they take on the Orioles, the biggest series of the year, battling for the American League East, crisis averted as Judge takes one off the wrist in the third inning. I was there. I went to the game last night. I sat in the press box for the first time ever. It was nice. I was too nervous to introduce myself to Joel Sherman, so I just quietly sat next to him the entire game. No idea who I am. Joel, if you're listening, yeah, that was me in the blue bola. How are you? But as I'm watching the game and
I'm stupid.
What can you do? As we're watching the game and as he leaves, when Trent Grisham walks out to take his at-bat and come out there on the on-deck circle, everyone in the building is on panic because we understand how important Judge is to this team. And thankfully, he's come out now and said that the imaging and everything came back good. No fracture. We'll see if he's back in the lineup. But it felt a little feisty in the building. I wasn't watching on TV. I've subsequently seen Verdugo have something to say. The Yankees are pissed off, and rightfully so, as Judge, a couple of pitches inside, up and in, but when Judge leaves the game, you're always with just, especially the same thing with Soto. Soto leaves the game, he's got the forearm issue. We understand where this team is, right? And the game starts with, and the day starts with Ben Rice being added to the roster. I talked about that for an hour last night, about how I thought the Yankees should bring up Ben Rice to play first base, and they won't do it. They'll play Peraza, and yet they do what the unexpected thing is, bring the kid up from AAA, a handful of at-bats in AAA. He gets added to the 40-man roster, makes his Major League debut, gets a base hit in the game. But this was a game that ultimately felt completely different after that Judge injury. The tenor of the game, the tenor of the building, watching Nestor Cortez pitch a great game, shutting down the Baltimore Orioles and having a great performance like he's done at home and like the starting pitching has done all year long. And that's why you have faith in this team. That's why this team is where it is in first place, because it's not just Judge and Soto, as much as many people will tell you. Sure, you can't live without Judge. And the idea he's out of this game in the third inning is terrifying. And as we waited and finally got the good news, you understand how important he is to the team. You know how important Juan Soto is. And sure, the bottom of the lineup isn't terrific. It's not all-stars throughout the entire roster. But this starting pitching, including Nestor Cortez, was going to get lost in this game. And this is an enormous game for the New York Yankees. An enormous game. Right? This is the division. This is the division battle against a Baltimore upstart Orioles team who won 100 games last year, who, because of what the Red Sox did the other night, are going to run all over the Yankees, who the young athletic Orioles are just better. And the Yankees don't beat good teams, and that's the narrative heading into this game. And without Judge, they get enough offense, without the addition of a home run, by the way. They play good defense. They make good plays. Gleyber Torres made a couple of very nice plays in this game. Volpe makes a couple of very nice plays in this game. But ultimately, it just feels like this is going to be a battle all year long. You know how good the Orioles are. And to come out on the first game, lose Judge, get a little bit of feistiness back like 1998. I was waiting for Graham Lloyd and Darryl Strawberry to come out there and throw haymakers. And I don't think anything's going to happen tomorrow. I don't expect anything in this series. Ultimately, to be totally honest with you, it's not like Judge hit a home run and then took one in the back. They're trying to pitch inside to Judge. They're trying to pitch inside to Gleyber Torres. They're trying to get the Yankees out, and they came two inside. Now, I get it. Whenever he leaves the game because of injury, and he's pissed off and the Yankees are pissed off, you want to throw inside, make sure you don't hit us, let alone in the hand, where we just saw the great Mookie Betts have to, you know, go on the four-month IL because of, four-week IL or two-month IL, excuse me, because of a broken bone in his wrist. I mean, this is the season you lose Aaron Judge. Let's be honest. They will not be the same team. There will be a struggle to continue winning baseball games. You understand that, but the starting pitching is so good. And Nestor Cortez is going to get lost in this game. But tomorrow, the last thing Gerrit Cole wants to do is he will now make his season debut in this series and try and win the series and try and take at least two out of three tomorrow against Baltimore. The last thing he's going to do is going to throw at a hitter and get ejected from this game, because that's how baseball is nowadays. Baseball isn't the old days where you could get back at the Orioles later in the series and put one in someone's back. There are no warnings. The pitcher will just get thrown out because it will be assumed it was on purpose, and that's the end of it. And Gerrit Cole is not going to get thrown out of his first game of the year. He's not going to take the risk of getting thrown out the first game of the year. But ultimately, for the first game of this series, to set a tone, to come out there and throw an excellent game from Nestor Cortez, completely shut down this lineup, to the only runs they score, the two in the ninth inning. And we'll get to Clay Holmes as we get through the show, 888-808-1019, and the home run he gives up. But ultimately, to shut down this team, to come out, score early, add a couple of insurance runs, and then watch this team pitch to this Baltimore Orioles team, shut them down, win game one, make a statement in game one. And hopefully Judge can come back, play more in this series. But that's a statement game. It gets lost because of the Judge injury. Nestor Cortez's performance is going to get lost because of the Judge injury. And we're going to talk about Ben Wright. We're going to talk about all the different things about what's going on. And we're going to get to the Mets in a second, who had their seventh win in a row. But as we worry about Judge and as we talk about the lineup and who's going to play first and LeMahieu moving over to first base late in the game, is Oswaldo Cabrera going to play? What are they going to do at third base and first base come the trade deadline? They're going to add the ace of the staff. And we found out earlier today that Cody Petit is going to the IL along with Ian Hamilton, who's going to impact this team. But I told you I was surprised that they are going to start Gerrit Cole in this game. I was surprised they were going to thrust Gerrit Cole into this divisional series, a big impact series, to throw him right in there when he probably could have had one more start in the minor leagues, get ramped up to 100 pitches. I was surprised the way they handled it. Now we know why. Cody Petit went down. They don't have an option. They're not going to bring up another guy. They have Cole waiting. So Cole will make the start tomorrow in what's going to be a high, intense second game of an important series that the Yankees have now put themselves in a little bit of a 2.5-game lead now. They've eliminated the idea of being down at the end of this series. No matter what happens in these next two games, they will leave this series at least a half a game up in the standings. But what you saw last night is this Yankee team do what it's been doing all year. Pitch really well, score enough runs, have, you know, Soto on base all game long, doing getting walk after walk, but the length of the lineup, the ability to manufacture runs, whether it's a couple of sacrifice flies in this game, you know, hitting and moving the runner over. Like they did it without the addition of a home run yesterday in this game. They still managed to score enough runs, pitch, and shut down this Baltimore team and ultimately take the first game of this series. And as long as Judge is okay, you come away from this thinking, okay, the Yankees outplayed the Orioles in every way. The middle of their order did nothing. Nestor Cortez, who's probably the weakest link in this rotation, threw six shutout innings in this game. And you got your ace coming back tomorrow to try and solidify this team, this series, and make a statement early on in the year to not only the Baltimore Orioles, but to the rest of baseball that, yes, the Yankees can beat good teams. And yes, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. And yes, even without Judge, even without Soto, if it comes down to it, this Yankee team can still win games because they can outpitch you as well as score a ton of runs. And then we get to the Mets. And seven in a row. Seven's the magic number. Seven little chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old child's tale from the sea? As the Mets never lose. And what an incredible performance from this team down 6-2 against the defending champ Texas Rangers. And you get a terrible performance, let's just say. He's been great this year. But Luis Severino doesn't give you much in this game. You fall behind 6-2, and then away they go at chipping away. And what I like most about this game, a lot of things you obviously like about this game, Nimmo with another home run, and he continues to be hot. But what I like about this game is good teams do something in specific, and that is when you give them an inch, when you crack open the door, they will kick it in. And when Seager threw that ball away on what should have been an easy double play to end that inning, you got David Robertson comes in, he throws one pitch, he gets as easy a double play as you can have, bounced right to Corey Seager at the bag, he casually and nonchalantly throws it to first and bounces it, they get the run, and that's all they get there. They don't make them pay any further in that inning, but that just opened the door enough. It gave them that extra run to bring them within two, and from that moment on, the Mets offense continued to pile on. And what can you say about Francisco Alvarez? I mean, this guy, from the minute he's come up, even through slumps, even through downtimes of these couple of years he's been here, he has a knack for coming through in the big spot. And I know right now the record, everyone's hung up on it, and rightfully so. The team's completely different with him in the lineup. The record is, what is he, 17-1 with him? At 17-1 now, some ungodly number with him behind the dish. He's been incredible, but he comes through with the big hit. Pete Alonso comes through with the big hit. But this Met team, you can feel it. The difference of being down 6-2 today feels so much different than being down 6-2 a mere 2 weeks ago felt. It is night and day. Then you get Diaz, who's been thrusted right back into the closer role, gets a big double play in this game. Iglesias does a great job to stay in there and get the double play. And if he can start to round into form, and this offense that's, you know, just relentless. You got Vientos with the home run. You've got Nimmo being on fire. Alonso waking up. J.D. Martinez being, you know, that catalyst really over the last 2 weeks in the middle of the lineup. And then Francisco Alvarez, who just only makes the lineup deeper. And you just get the feeling he's going to come through in spots like that against David Robertson and hit one in the gap and tie the game at six. I mean, just the ability to come back. Now, their bullpen's been terrible. The Rangers have not had a great year. But ultimately, for this team to be able to come back the way it did, fight back, and what I love about it is that moment where when they give you it, you got to kick the door down. And to give them that bonus run and be that careless with a double play, you had to make the Rangers pay for it. And it got them, it wasn't that inning, but it got them later in the game. And I love that's always a good aspect about teams. Now, the Mets have done a couple of things in this winning streak that offensively speak to me. One, getting out early. Not in this game, but over the course of the 7-game winning streak. They get out to early scores against good starting pitching. As I said, John Gray the other day, Dylan Cease the day before that. They get out to early leads, which is always important. They never allow a crooked number by the other team to sit long. Even in the other game the other night, they score two runs, boom, they get the two runs back. They score four in the eighth, boom, the Mets come right back with four runs. They always respond immediately, and now when you make a mistake, the Mets make you pay. Those are three elements of good baseball teams. Those are three elements of good offensive baseball teams. Get out early. Don't let deficits, you know, sit long, respond right away, and then when the other team makes a mistake, kick the door in. And all three have been front and center of this 7-game winning streak. And right now they are playing, and you've seen it already. We've talked about the muddled up, jumbled up National League wild card, and they've already jumped at how many teams they were behind. And I'll be the first one to admit, I've been telling you, well, look, if they're here, if, you know, okay, even though it's a game and a half out, they're only, you know, there's five teams ahead of them, and, you know, they're going to have to do a hell of a lot more than that if they're going to want this team and this, you know, Stearns to reinvest in the team and add. I just don't see it. Well, in one night, they have jumped, you know, half the teams in front of them, and they're tied right there. I mean, they are right there in this wild card. I mean, this National League, you're two games under 500, and you are right there for this wild card. And the way they're playing, seven wins in a row, the confidence they're building, the confidence they're exuding, the difference that Alvarez has made, the difference now that J.D. Martinez makes, the difference of Lindor at the top of the lineup and what he's been doing since he's moved there. And now if you're going to get Pete coming through with big home runs, coming through with big base hits down the line to give you the lead in the ninth, like if you're going to get your stars going and you're going to get Alvarez to make this kind of impact, plus, of course, how important Diaz is, which I think is the biggest difference of this team in the past 2 years and obviously the team 2 years ago that won 101 games, it's not only just having a good closer, and it's not just having Diaz on the field, but it's that element of the game is over. That they have a force at the back end of the bullpen. Us Yankee fans, we were able to see that for years. It was intimidating. You knew all you had to do was get to a game in the eighth inning tied or with the lead, and you were going to find a way to win it because you had Mariano Rivera. And that was so much the important element of what that team had 2 years ago when they won 101 games is that, hey, all we have to do is be close, tied, have a one-run lead in the seventh or eighth inning, and we have the most dynamic weapon in all of baseball at the back end of our games. And he's not there yet, and I don't know if he'll ever get there again, but right now his presence and what he's been able to do since coming back from injury is going to steady this team and steady that bullpen to go along with how great the lineup has been, to go along with the most part. I know Severino wasn't very good last night, but he's been overall pretty good. And how, you know, good this rotation has been. Still waiting on Kodai Senga to come back. And hopefully that sounds like it could be sooner rather than later. And this team is now rounding into shape just in time as it's going to be decision-making time for this owner, for this new GM, to determine how good this Met team is. Do they want to help them? Do they want to not trade off pieces? Do they want to bolster this team heading into the playoff stretch? Because right now they're playing like as good as any team in the National League. And they're the hottest team in baseball. And they're responding. And they're jumping out on teams. They're coming back from deficits. They're doing everything. And I'm not going to mention Grimace. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. But I don't care about Grimace. Not doing it. So we had a great baseball night, and it would have been a perfect baseball night. We had the Yankees win the first game of the series. We got a little excitement between the two teams after Judge got hurt, and thankfully we found out good news about that. Clay Holmes gives up a couple of runs, but ultimately, very nice night for the New York Yankees. Take the first game of a three-game set against their division rival and real main nemesis of this season, the Baltimore Orioles. We got the seventh consecutive win from the Mets. Come from behind fashion against the Texas Rangers and rally back from being down 6-2 to win 7-6. And it was almost a perfect baseball night if it wasn't that baseball lost one of its giants in Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 last night. And obviously, obviously I never got a chance to see him play. But, I mean, Willie Mays is genuinely considered one of, if not the greatest baseball player of all time. Was able to do everything on the field. I mean, a legend in this game. 660 home runs. The Mets obviously have a connection. He's retired the number last year. Thankfully, they were able to do that last year and have him there for that moment and fulfilling a promise made all those years ago to retire his number as a New York Met. And for you Met fans who were around in the early 70s, got to see the tail end of his career with the Mets. But ultimately, I mean, he harkens back to one of the great eras especially in all of baseball, but especially New York baseball. Those 1950s when you had Willie, Mickey, and the Duke patrolling center field all in New York, the mecca of baseball with the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Yankees all in this city, the World Series constantly being played in New York, and to have all those teams and have all those great players and Mickey Mantle and Duke, and obviously Willie shined as bright as any of them. And so it's a sad day for the baseball world as we say goodbye to Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. So if you want to talk about that, we obviously can, but we're going to open it up to your Met calls. We're going to open it up to your Yankee calls, as it was a good baseball night for the two locals. The Yankees can beat good teams. The Yankees take care of business against the Orioles. Judge is okay, and it feels like there's going to be not just a on-the-field, in-the-standings rivalry, but it's starting to feel like this Yankee-Orioles thing is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to get back to what us, you know, baseball fans, and if we want to harken back to the days of Willie Mays, a little bit of dislike between the teams, because I know the fans, I know how we all feel, like there's too much of camaraderie, right? There's too much of, hey, you know, we were just in the boardroom arguing against the owners 2 years ago. We're all friends. We're all trying to make money together. We're all part of this community of Major League Baseball players or NBA basketball players or NFL football players. And they're all, you know, at the end of the games getting together and on the field after the games and whatever the, like, there's not enough of that vitriol between two teams. And I'm not trying to manifest it, because we saw on the field last night, whether it was, you know, Verdugo saying things, Judge, as we were sitting there in the press box, when Judge gets hit, he starts walking around the mound. Like, he got real, you very rarely see it. Normally they fade off to the dugout. He gets hit and starts spinning and walking, and he's right at the pitching mound. I was wondering if we were about to see something. He looked pissed. He got close to the pitching mound. Obviously then later in the game, Gleyber Torres gets hit. And especially for this veteran group, the New York Yankees, all the money spent, years pounding the Orioles, and for the Orioles to be this young upstart team, all this young talent, all these young prospects coming up, winning the division last year, and trying to prove that the Yankees, although they're the story of baseball this year with Juan Soto, that they won the division last year, and to have a little animosity between the two teams and a little bit of feistiness can be a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun. Now, it's not fun when Judge leaves the game for Trent Grisham. That's not fun. But hopefully he'll be back in the lineup either tomorrow or later in the game, later in the series. You got Cole making a start tomorrow. Ben Rice comes up. A lot of excitement, a lot of things to talk about. Taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Your baseball calls next. McMonagle here with you in the overnights on The Fan.